The Marine and the Hippie is a weekly conversation about current events aimed at presenting alternative viewpoints while looking for common ground. We are the Marine and the Hippie.
Hello, and welcome to the Marine and the Hippie dialogue number 13. Today we'll be talking about, well, the Mother's Day flag. Speaking to my mom on Friday or Saturday, and she had talked to a friend. She's gone over to a friend's house and for dinner. They all have their vaccines now. They're kind of coming off the pandemic and they're starting to socialize. And the couple, one of the couples that they went to had said, "Oh, honey, I forgot to bring in the flag." And at which point the conversation came up that said, "Why are you flying the flag? Are you a Republican?" And they said, "No. We're sending a message to say that the flag is not a Republican or GOP or Trump symbol, that the American flag is our symbol as a nation. They don't own it. We don't own it. It is a symbol of America." And I thought that that was a good idea. So I went in and I wrote about that. And I think that I agree. I think that I agree that from my travels, I live in Turkey right now. I can look outside, I can walk around my block, and I can see probably 6 or 7 Turkish flags. Why? It doesn't represent anything other than the fact that people are proud of their nationality and their heritage and their history. And yes, America has some skeletons in the closet as part of their history. And I will acknowledge that. And I accept that. But it doesn't change the fact that in the now, everybody who has that blue passport that says United States of America and has a social security number is an American. So the flag doesn't represent just the past. It also represents the now and the future that we're building. So I wonder, well, that's what we're going to talk about today. I wonder if the flag has seen its day, or is Old Glory coming back to help us bring back the glory of, I don't know, a unified United States of America. Doc?
Well, I have a different experience with the flag. As you all know, I'm the Marine. And so I've had to, you know, salute the flag, and I've had to stand at attention whenever they blow colors in the evening and in the morning, and, you know, all this other stuff. And there was, it seemed like a duty in that sense. Like, I wasn't saluting something that I was extremely proud of. You know, I didn't see that flag and the things that have been accomplished underneath that flag as something that's part of my particular heritage. My particular heritage is, you know, I support a lot of decisions that were against what my government chose to do. So, I mean, you want to talk about war, I wasn't alive for the Vietnam War, but I'm sure that I would have opposed the Vietnam War at the time. I opposed the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War since the second day after 9/11. I mean, that's when I became an anti-war activist. And I started making speeches against the upcoming war, even when the vast majority of the population was all gung-ho about going and killing everybody in the Middle East and turning Iraq into a sheet of glass by using thermonuclear weapons. And it's ridiculous. You know, like 85% of the population, along with the, you know, mainstream media outlets across the country, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, NBC, you know, CBS. CBS was especially egregious at this, just constantly repeating the government's line and support for the war, not only in Afghanistan, but also in Iraq. When we know that there wasn't a lot of evidence that Iraq had anything that the government said that they did and lied about the fact that they did. And yet these people were uncritically supporting this. And so one thing that I mentioned on the comment that you asked about the flag was that it's not so much the flag that's the problem. The flag is a piece of cloth. And if you check the piece of cloth that you are flying in front of your house so proudly, you might see that it's made in China, because most of our flags are currently produced in China, which, you know, kind of puts pay to the whole notion of this is this American thing that we should be so proud of. It's a product that's being sold to you by some company that's manufacturing these things for cents on the dollar in China. And they're making a lot of money based on your patriotism. For me, that's just a cloth. What's the real problem with the flag is the evil and the wickedness that the people who utilize that flag do underneath that flag, or use that flag to justify.
That was a lot. So let me start with that last point. Yeah, I mean, I this is where we agree. We agree that what is being done in the name of America or Christianity or Judaism or Islam, what is being done under these big umbrella ideologies is a lot of evil. Yet, I can say that it's come up a few times, even within the episode, the dialogues between you and I, Doc, is that we don't seem to have a unification. And if we don't have a unification, what do we get? Do we have chaos? Well, if we're going up against other nations that are unified behind a flag and are willing to pledge allegiance and stand behind it no matter what, when the going gets tough, then our days are numbered if we are not. So I guess the question becomes, what do we need to do to make the outliers and the people who have angst towards the flag proud of not just the flag, but proud to call themselves Americans? Because right now it seems like that's what's being washed away across a lot of the population. You're listening to The Marine and the Hippie.
Hey, you're listening to Marine and the Hippie. This is Dialogue 13. And if you wonder why we're calling them dialogues now, it's because we are having a dialogue. And this is a dialogue that not only needs to occur on this show, but also in the American society as a whole, across the entire world, where you get people that may not necessarily agree on everything perfectly, but we still have a need to have a conversation with one another and to try to get to some place where we can maybe come to some agreement so that we can start figuring out some solutions. So we changed the name of the episodes to Dialogues, and I think that's going to be a permanent change. And, you know, I think Dylan agrees with it. I agree with it. I think it's a good idea. So you're now listening to Dialogue 13, where we're talking about the flag on Mother's Day. And before we went to break, Dylan asked how we can get to the point where the people in America or whatever, wherever you happen to live, where the people can be proud of the flag and the things that our country does, which that flag symbolizes. And I'm not really sure if I have an answer to that, because in my opinion, you know, I was born in the state of Indiana, and I was born completely and totally outside of my will. I didn't decide to be born there. I didn't consider it a big accomplishment of my life to be born. That was an accomplishment of my mother's life that I was born there. And so I'm not really entirely sure, you know, what there is for me to be proud of about the fact that I'm an American. It's entirely arbitrary. And as a matter of fact, the way I see it is I won the genetics lottery. You know, I happen to be a white man in the United States of America. And as you mentioned before, we represent less than 5% of the population of the whole entire world. And so I got incredibly lucky that I was born in the United States. It's not really something that I accomplished or did anything for. So I'm not really sure about the term pride. And so maybe, Dylan, you might go into that a little bit more.
Well, I guess I look at it like this. Sitting here in Turkey, been here 5 years now. We used to all have to go to at the school I worked at, the opening on Monday, and a flag ceremony on Monday morning and Friday afternoon. The bookend, the school week, at all sorts of public events, special holidays. At the beginning of every race, we stand at attention. We sing the national anthem. And at the beginning, I thought that was a little much, because, you know, I'm at the tail end of the Pledge of Allegiance. But the more I've seen how my own countrymen seem to fight amongst themselves and be willing to fight sort of to the death amongst themselves, I worry, because I look at the countries that I've lived where that's not happening as much, where as long as there is some sort of democratic process, and the feeling that there is some sort of democratic process, that people stand behind it. You know, in Morocco, the flag is a symbol of their kingdom. In Thailand and in Indonesia, in Myanmar, even through what they're going through, no Burmese, even though they're being killed by the generals in a genocide right now, no Burmese is like, I'm not a Burmese. They're like, I'm Burmese. That's why I'm fighting. And that's where I guess my question or problem or issue is that it seems to me, I'm an observer, I love to watch, is that I'm observing that we're always willing to kind of go at each other because we have differences of opinion. We're having a dialogue, as Doc just, you know, spoke about, so that we can discuss this. So we can talk about, does the flag matter? And we're not screaming at each other, and we seem to be on a little bit different of a pathway on this. But I do believe that symbols are very powerful. And, you know, it doesn't matter where the symbol is made at the end of the day. I think it should be made in America if it's an American flag. So there's a point for you, Doc. But I think symbols are very important. And I think we are a branded globe. So and because of that, there needs to be a symbol of unity. And as a leftist, I think that's one of our struggles, is that we can't seem to find what that symbol is or what to unify behind. Doc?
Well, if we're going to go with, you know, symbols being important, this raises a question in my mind. Like, how do we feel about the Confederate flag? The flag of the Confederacy, you know, the stars and the bars and all this other stuff, which represents, you know, the slave power and Jim Crow in the American South. The Southerners will say this is their heritage, this is their culture, this is, you know, where they came from. And, you know, I might be the first person to say, well, you know, that's the flag of a traitor. But, I mean, does that carry the same power for those people as the American flag or the U.S. flag should carry for everybody in the country? You know, I mean, if we're being truly defined by our symbols, shouldn't we let the South have their symbols as well? What do you think, Dylan?
I think when we come back to break, I will try to answer that question to the best of my ability.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Doc with Marine and the Hippie. I'm the Marine, and let me just say, make love, not war. Peace.
Welcome back to Dialogue 13 of Marine and the Hippie. I'm Dylan. I'm the Hippie. And we're talking today about the Mother's Day flag, and Doc just brought up the question of the Confederate flag, and what I think about that flag. And I think that flag is part of American culture. It's part of American history, and it is certainly part of the South. However, the South is a part of America. And I've written about this in observations. We've talked about this a little bit. The first word of our country is united. And united isn't the Confederates. It's not the North. It's not the mountain. It's not Hawaii. It's not the West Coast. It's not Alaska. It's all of it. So I would argue that the American flag is the symbol of all of the people, not just a subset or a subgroup or a part. Now, whether or not the Confederate flag should be used or should not be used, I think I'll write about and think about and ponder more, because that's a freedom of speech issue. And I think that that's something that we should discuss. But I think right now, I guess the question is, have the GOP and the Republicans gotten control of the symbol? Have they gotten control of it to the point where everyone on the left, including the centrists, see the symbol of the American flag and say, that's the GOP, that's the Republican, that's Donald Trump? And if that's the case, that's something that we have to worry about. Because again, people do follow symbols. We are branded. We buy things, we view things, we look for things because of the branding. So what do you think, Doc?
So basically what has happened is that flying the American flag has been so politicized in this country that, you know, there was a big deal when Obama was first elected. He didn't wear a flag pin on his lapel. And I'm not exactly sure what that whole row was about, because it was just some people wanting to take Obama down. He didn't happen to have a flag pin on his lapel, and they already believed that he was a foreigner anyway. You know, you heard about the Indonesian, you know, Muslim, socialist Obama not wanting to wear a flag, so therefore he must be some kind of outsider. And it was part of the narrative that people were using against the guy to invalidate anything that he was trying to do or anything like this by claiming he's some sort of outsider. And I think that the left has sort of given that issue over to the right because of the fact that the right is like a cheerleader champion of all the evil that our country does under that flag, you know, all the way from mining, you know, Managua Bay down in Nicaragua under the Reagan administration to, you know, bombing Iraq every single day of the Clinton administration, all the way to fighting the war on terrorism and continuing the war in Iraq and drone striking and everything like that. The Republicans have been, you know, have used that flag to say this is totally justified. And the left, you know, maybe not necessarily the Democrats specifically, but the left in general has said, yeah, you know, I mean, if that's what you're going to do under that flag, then I don't want to have any part of it. And I mean, this kind of goes toward my hesitancy to claim it, because the fact that, you know, so much wickedness and so much evil has been done underneath that flag, and I don't really get to have a say in how that flag is used overseas to, you know, kill people, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're talking the truth. I'm not arguing with you, but we are part of it, because all of us have benefits, gain benefits from. Again, you said it in the beginning. You know, when you introduce yourself as, you know, I got the luck of the lottery. Well, in a lot of ways, almost all Americans have gotten the luck of the lottery, because at least opportunity is there by birth, because we do have, or we have had up until now, the most powerful passport, the most powerful currency. And so the word patriot keeps on coming up in my head, and I don't know really how to discuss it because it seems like today an American patriot has a negative connotation if you're viewing it from the left. If you're viewing it from the right, it's you. I'm an American patriot. I drive a Ford or a Chevy. I fly my flag tall and proud. I got guns, you know, great. But it seems like that patriotism doesn't include, you know, half the population, but half of that population still are Americans. So how do we, I'm never going to give up on the unity thing. That's, you know, I believe in it. I know that the past was shitty. So we have to figure out how to make it better for those that it was shitty for, so we can move towards a better future. But all we have is the now. So how do we do this? How do we create a patriotic America where we see each other first as citizens of the same nation before we see each other as enemies of politics? Doc?
Well, I think what we have to do is we have to figure out how to correct our course. I think that there is, right now, patriotism is associated with this really machismo, kind of like strong man kind of image that the Republicans have been really representing, you know, for 40 years, for my entire life. You know, it's always like the Democrats are all weak. You know, they're all, and in a lot of ways, the Republicans are correct in their criticism, but, you know, the strong man image that these people want to represent, we have to figure out a way to not be that. We have to figure out a way to actually live up to the ideals that America claims to support internationally. You know, this could include democracy. This could include human rights. This could include, you know, getting rid of poverty or, you know, helping people in humanitarian crises and this kind of thing. But it also has to exclude the use of military force to accomplish these goals. You know, the idea that we're forcing democracy down people's throat kind of puts, you know, it kind of puts the whole question of whether or not we should be supporting democracy into question. You know, I mean, it's kind of raises that, and it kind of gives people a reason to ask the question, well, is the United States doing this for the support of democracy, or are they doing this for the support of U.S. national interests? And I think the Republicans are perfectly willing to say, no, whatever we say is good because we say it's good. And I think we need to get away from that. We need to actually, if you want to actually have people be proud of the flag and of the country, you actually have to give them something to be proud of. And, you know, being a bully on the international stage really is something that only appeals to half the population. And otherwise, I don't know beyond that, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, I think we tried to talk about that last week, too, with the lion versus the antelope. The group who use might as their political tool and violence are the lions. And until the antelope realize that we have just as much power, if not more, because we have the numbers, I'm not sure where we're going to go, because it is a problem. You know, it is a problem that the very fabric of our country is getting ripped apart. And, you know, we look at the flag as a symbol of either something that we are behind or something that we are against. And, well, if we're against the flag, that's telling that something's amiss and that we need to do some work to fix it. So thanks for listening to Dialogue 13 of Marine and the Hippie. I am the Hippie coming at you from Kusadashi, Turkey.
And I am the Marine, and I'm coming at you from Ames, Iowa. And you can check us out at marinehippie.com, where you can find all of our information. You can find links to Dylan's blog, Observations of the Spectrum. You can find links to my other podcast, which is kind of on hiatus right now, called Supernova Earth, and other back episodes of the show, too. So check us out there, marinehippie.com. For this week, Dialogue 13, I'm Doc.
I'm Dylan.
And we'll see you next week. Peace. Thank you.
You're listening to The Marine and the Hippie. I'm Dylan. I'm the hippie from Turkey. And let me just tell you, Kolay Gelsin. May it be easy. Peace.
For more information on The Marine, follow Doc at supernova_earth on Twitter and listen to the Supernova Earth Show on Spotify. For more information on the hippie, follow Dylan at GeziandMe on Twitter and read his blog at observationsfromthespectrum.org.